Good afternoon and welcome to our meeting. It is 1:30 on August 8th, 2023. And time to reconvene a regular meeting of the Snohomish County PUD Board of Commissioners. I'm Rebecca Wolf, President of the Commission. We have today with us Commissioner Sid Logan, Vice President, Commissioner Tony Olson, Secretary, Guy Payne, Assistant General Manager, Distribution and Engineering, Jeff Goldstone, Acting General Counsel, Allison Morrison, Clerk of the Board, Jenny Rich, Deputy Clerk of the Board, and Morgan Stolzner, Deputy Clerk of the Board. The written record will indicate others who are present. Please turn off or mute your cell phones or other electronic devices. Copies of the agenda are located on the Deputy Clerk's table near the entrance. Are there any items to be added or changes to be made to the published agenda?
Yes, Commissioner, we are removing item 5, CEO General Manager Report.
Thank you. Comments from the public is item 2 on the agenda. And that is when the board will hear comments for items that are not listed on today's agenda. Comments will be limited to 5 minutes and persons shall be recognized to speak from the sign-up cards located on the Deputy Clerk's table near the entrance. If joining by Zoom, click raise hand or dial *9 if by phone. Attendees will be called on to speak at the appropriate time. This meeting is being recorded. When addressing the board during the meeting, please step up to the podium, use a microphone, state and spell your name, and indicate where you're from. Please remain at the podium while you speak and address the commissioners, not the audience. If you have documents or other materials to enter into the record, hand them to the deputy clerk, who will distribute them to the board. We appreciate your cooperation with our procedures. Please note that all motions receive an automatic second, silent second from the board. This ensures that all issues can be brought to the floor for discussion. Please join me for the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Are there any comments from the public on items not on the agenda?
Nothing online.
Do we have anyone on the phone?
We do not.
Okay. Let's move on to consent agenda, which includes approval of the minutes for the regular meeting of July 25th, 2023. Bid awards, professional services contracts, and amendments. Consideration of certification, ratification, and approval of district checks and vouchers. I'll call for a motion.
I move approval.
Are there any comments from the public regarding the consent agenda? Have any commissioners?
There are none from the public.
Oh, okay, sorry.
I have no questions. I have no questions.
Do you have any questions or comments?
I don't have anything.
Okay, well, I do. I have a few questions and or comments regarding some of our expenditures and vouchers or proposals. We have some huge contracts that are being considered today. The Camino Island project for metal clad switchgear, $2,167,000 for distribution circuit breakers and protection, control, metering, and communication equipment for monitoring and operating the substations of Camino and Crosswind, I believe, right? Both locally and remotely. And then we have, I mean, these are just the totals. We have $783,640 to, well, the first one was to Electro Technical Industries, Inc. Second one to Electrical Power Products, Inc. $783,640 for 115 kilovolt central enclosure, control, excuse me, control enclosure, Camino Island Substation, into Electromechanical LLC, $2,395,760 for 115 kilovolt air insulated dead front pad mounted switchgear. I'm sure all of these are justified, no question. But my question is, with all of this, this is a big part of our projects going forward. And so, will there be a lot more to come, or do you expect that this is going to take care of that kind of equipment? It seems like this is huge. I mean, this is huge. It's a lot of money. It's $6,901,637.28.
Right. There's going to be a lot more to come. Am I off?
Yeah, you just introduced yourself.
You're on.
Oh, you're on. You can introduce yourself.
Okay. Guy Payne, Assistant General Manager of Distribution and Engineering Services. We're working on our five-year budget plan, and the crosswinds, a lot of these expenditures are allocated in our 2024 budget. These are big substation projects, and crosswinds allows us to, with our new 25 megawatt battery storage, to get power out on the grid, and then, you know, our substation projects up in the Stanwood Camino area. From Far 115, those are big projects. They're big for our reliability and expansion to future growth, future needs. You know, we've seen a lot of escalations. Substation transformers are over double of what they were before COVID. So we're working really hard. We've got our 2024 budget. You know, kind of initial plan, and trying to space these out over 5 years. But yeah, these are big projects in the 2024 budget. Yes.
Sure. All of these are in the 2024 budget. Are some for 2024?
Yeah, there's been some deferrals in 2023, as we've presented some of the deferrals and reductions that we've had to do to compensate for our power purchases this year. Some procurement I suspect will be in this budget year, most of it in next.
So what are some, I don't know if this is a good time to ask, but what are some of the other outstanding big expenses relating to these two projects? Would it be premature to say?
I can let Mark Owens talk a little bit about this. I think substation transformers, switch gears, those are big hitters.
Sure.
As well as line construction.
No doubt.
Hi, I'm Mark Owens. I'm the Senior Manager of Substation, Meter, Telecom, AMI, and Energy Storage. Yeah, it's a mouthful. But yeah, so these are significant expenditures. And what Guy mentioned before, there's going to be more. The transformers have gone from the 650 to 700,000 range to $2 million. And they're 3 years out. So we have to plan well in advance of when we need these facilities, what we need. A lot of the other equipment also has some of those same lead times and cost escalations since pre-COVID. So yes, I mean, everything has gone up significantly. These switchgear used to be, I want to say, 600,000, 700,000. Now you can see they're, you know, $1.2 million. We don't see any. They're going to continue to escalate as we're going.
Yeah, and I think that somehow in our communications, not these figures necessarily, specifically, but I think our public needs to realize, and I guess we have talked about increased costs, but I don't think they have a clue as to how much more money we're going to need to begin to meet.
Yes, just gonna ask you, like, there's just no.
So it's kind of ties into how we're gonna communicate.
We do have a update on our financials, and perhaps your questions here might tie better to that.
It might, okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. And I appreciate this, the challenge. The other question I have related to this project is when they relocate the solar array, where is that going to go? Where is the solar, the new, I mean, where will our solar panels go?
Good afternoon, commissioners. My name is Scott Gibson. I'm the manager of our new energy storage group. So I'm the one who gets to help with project management on the solar relocation. So the solar panels are going to be right out in front of the Clean Energy Center, so right next to, or pretty close to where they are right now.
Okay.
So we're moving them to make it make sense to put the new battery as close to the new substation
right.
that you're talking about, the crosswind substation. Remove the solar so that the battery can be as close to the substation as possible. But we'll keep the solar on site right out in front of the building so it's easy to connect up to the microgrid.
Good. Well, I was just wondering, where are we going? Oh.
Yeah, it'll be really easy to connect up to the microgrid and,
yeah.
and for tours so that the public can see it.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Commissioner.
I have no more questions or comments. Do you have any?
I have none.
Okay, so I'll call for the vote. If you're in favor, vote aye. If you're opposed, please vote nay.
Aye.
The motion is carried unanimously. Okay, let's see. One second. Items for individual consideration. I'll call for a motion.
Can you read the title? Can you please read the title?
Consideration of a motion accepting the second, sorry. Consideration of a motion accepting the second quarter 2023 financial conditions and activities. Monitoring report. Call for a motion.
I move acceptance.
Now I'll introduce Sean Hunstock, who will provide a presentation. Okay, Sean, would you like to present now?
Yes, please. Thank you. Thank you, commissioners. I'm Sean Hunstock, senior manager, controller, and auditor. It's my pleasure to present to you the second quarter monitoring report showing PUD results of operations for the year to date through June 30th. This information complements and is consistent with the second quarter budget presentation that you received during the July 25th commission meeting. So again, this information is through June 30th of 23 compared to that same time period for 2022. You'll notice at the very bottom. So we net income is down, however, it's still positive. We have net income through June 30th of $21 million compared to $32 million for the same time period last year. The revenue is up. We have $406 million for 2023 compared to $376 million for 2022. Operating expenses are up as well. As you'll know, consistent with the first quarter report, the primary driver there is the purchase power costs, and we'll get into that number in a bit more detail in a future slide. So I want to get into a little more detail on the operating revenue section. So the retail sales are up by $9 million. That's primarily the result of rate increases the last two, April of 22 and 23. We also see a slight increase in the wholesale revenue. However, as you know, particularly in 23, we've needed more of that wholesale power for our own internal uses rather than wholesale sales. Other revenue is up in 23, primarily from a BPA credit of $15 million for this year. We also have a $2 million increase in collections from past due accounts that restarted within the last year. On the operating expense side, again, the story here is the purchase power costs, and we'll dig into the different categories of that expense in a future slide. Other costs are pretty much consistent with the prior years. And again, for the current year, we see an increase of $49 million compared to the prior year. And we'll see additional detail for purchase power on slide slide six. Oops, sorry, skipped ahead too far. For the other income and expense, knock that right off the podium. Thank you, Allison. For other income and expense, not a lot of changes there. So again, we see net income for this year through June 30th of $21 million. Again, a decrease of $11 million compared to the prior year. So digging into the power supply on the BPA block, the power supply there is up a bit. The rate is about the same. The BPA slice, the power output there is down, the rate is up. So that is part of what's driving our purchase power costs. And the decrease in power output there is primarily made up through the market purchases. So you can see the increase there to 629 megawatt hours at a much higher rate, $90 on average per megawatt hour. So that's between the combination of lower output through BPA slice at a higher rate and the higher purchases through the market purchases at a much higher rate. That's really what's driving the variance in the purchase power costs that you see through the first 6 months of the year. The district generation is down, so the environmental factors that are causing the lower output through or BPA slice are also consistent with our own power output. So we're seeing lower water in the reservoirs and behind the dam, similar to what BPA is seeing in their own power through their own power generation. So again, just going back through the income statement, overall, we're seeing a $21 million increase in net income. Capital expenditures are higher. Skipped over that real briefly. I want to touch on a couple items. You see an increase. Just want to mention a couple high-level capital projects because, again, we see an $18 million increase in capital expenses. Some of the larger projects there are the North County office, $21 million project to date expenses, Connect Up AMI, $20 million, and the Sky Valley substation of $12 million. So there have been, and Guy mentioned, touched on it earlier, there have been deferrals and delays into the 2024 budget period. However, for some few large projects like Sky Valley, North County office, and particularly the Camino Island transmission line, some of those very large projects are still ongoing this year.
So with regards to capital, are we still within our budget for the year?
That's a great question. I believe so. If you refer back to the July 20...
That's what I remember. Sure.
Right.
So even though it's up the part that we plan on paying up.
Right. Yes. There were quite a few deferrals this year for 23. So the financial condition indicators then, not a large change from last year to this year. One change I will highlight real briefly is the project reserves. That's really the impact of the bond offering that happened, or the bond sale that happened in Q3 of last year. So the project reserves between 22 and 23 went up. But you'll also see the corresponding increase in the outstanding bonds as well. So those two numbers, the change in those two numbers are related to each other. The debt senior lien debt service coverage has gone down a little bit. That's primarily related to this a 12-month rolling calculation. So what that means is the debt has gone up, which means that number would go down, all other things being equal. But at the same time, because our purchase power costs have gone up, net income has gone down. So the combination of those two things means that our debt service coverage has gone down. However, we're far above what our target is for that number, so we're still in very good condition. Retail megawatt hours billed has gone down, or excuse me, has gone up by a small amount. The wholesale megawatt hours sales has gone down, as I mentioned earlier, just the megawatt hours available for wholesale sales is not a large number because, again, this year we needed those megawatt hours for our own sales to our own customers. One thing I will mention here is the write-off, net write-off as a percentage of sales and in terms of whole dollars, the 0.01% for 2023 and the $48,000 that you see there. Both of those numbers have gone down significantly this year. That's really related to the utility arrearages grant that Jeff Feinberg, I believe, has mentioned on a couple of occasions. So between the $12.2 million that was received and applied to customer accounts in December, and again, another $5.2 million that was received in June of this year, that benefited PUD customers, 27,000 households in total. So the write-offs have gone down significantly between last year and this year.
Are they now at normal ranges?
Not normal in terms of what that historical number has been, so. Just because of the amount of past due dollars and customers has gone down because of that, the applying that grant.
Okay, thank you.
The number of new utility customer connections continues to increase, but at a slower rate than what we've seen in the past. So in the first 6 months of this year, that number is 1,600. And we're currently at June 30th anyway, at 376,000 total active customers. So for the water system, then revenue increased for the first 6 months of the year compared to the prior year. Expenses are up for the first 6 months of the year. The story here is really the purchased water costs have gone up significantly in the first half of this year compared to the prior year. The Lake Stevens well was offline for a bit. That came back into service in April of this year. However, compared to last year, our purchased water costs were up quite a bit. Just the volume of purchased water was up about 40% compared to prior year, and the city of Everett implemented a rate increase as well on January 1st of this year. So the combination of more water purchased and at a higher rate resulted in the $738,000 increased in the purchased water costs. So so that was a combination, those two factors, the additional water purchased and at a higher rate resulted in that the increase in those costs. So, but at the end of the quarter, or at the end of the first 6 months of the year, we do have a positive net income of $1.3 million for the water system. Some operating indicators, not a large change in the reserves. The operating reserve did go down by a bit, again, largely attributed to the increased purchased water costs. The current ratio has gone up. Outstanding system debt has gone down, and the debt service coverage has gone up. Those numbers will change here shortly as the water system issues debt here before too long. I believe that has come to the commission already, I believe, right? Okay. Just checking. So, and no change in the bond rating for the water system as well. And some water system operating indicators, increase in cubic feet sold for the water system, wholesale sales have gone up as well. And purchased water volume has gone up. I touched on that earlier, and the cost of that purchased water has gone up as well. 121 additional connections in the first 6 months of the year, total active customers at 23,434. Gone through that fairly quickly. Are there any questions?
I have none at this point. No.
No, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Do you have any questions?
There's no comments from the public or questions.
So we have no comments from the public and no questions or comments from the commissioners. That would do the meeting.
Now we're on the top, call for a vote on the top.
Okay, so I'll call for a vote. If you do not, please vote nay.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion is carried unanimously. Now we'll move on to commission business. We have a commission report. Commissioner Olson, do you have any reports?
No.
Would you like to talk about?
Yeah, I have a report on something I wanted us to discuss. So I had the opportunity last week to speak to the Warm Beach Christian Men's Group.
Yeah.
Aaron Sweeney was kind enough to put a presentation together for me, and it's very helpful and a very engaging group, very educated group, lots of great questions. And at the end of the meeting, they announced that Commissioner Wolf would be presenting this coming Tuesday. Which was, I was surprised next, by.
Not this week, but next week,
yeah,
after.
Yeah.
Is it the same presentation?
I don't know. So I was going to ask, what are you presenting?
Mr. Fike, Aaron Fike, met at the block party.
Yes, that's where we both met there, yeah.
And we chatted for a very long time, and we found out a lot about each other. And he said, would you like to just come sometime and just tell us about you? He didn't really want to focus on the PUD. Wanted me to tell, I mean, like, I've had an interesting life with teaching and going back to school several times for different reasons. And I said, I'd love to do that. And so I'm just going to go and kind of tell my life story, which is going to be fun. But I'm prepared, I think, if there are any questions about the PUD, I will probably refer them to staff if I don't know the answers.
I was thinking it would be great if we could get staff to send a copy of my presentation to you.
Oh, I love that. And by the way,
so you at least know what I covered.
And Mr. Fike said that it's going to be public information. Is they recorded it?
I don't know.
I think that would be really good. Thank you for doing that to us. I'm sure it will be a good group. It's very different, you know, to have somebody representing a religious group to invite us, but
Commissioner Logan, I'll have that sent to you.
Okay, great, thank you.
Yeah, so I mean, why not? We have all kinds of interests in our public. So.
Okay. And then the other thing I want to talk about is we're not always asking in the order to speak. And so I noticed this morning we weren't, and so Commissioner Olson and I are sort of looking at each other and trying to decide if we're going to speak next or you're speaking. So what we had agreed on is that at every end of every presentation,
right,
that you would ask Commissioner Olson first,
yes,
and then you'd ask me, and then you'd speak, and then we'd keep going around. And that wasn't
well. I tried very hard to do that, looking to Commissioner Olson first and then to you, and I don't remember that we've had follow-ups, but we've had. I'll go back and listen. My goodness, if I haven't been perfect, I apologize.
Well, I'm not. I'm just. We agreed to do it. I just wanted to have a conversation about it because I didn't feel like we were doing it this morning.
Well, I did go first to Commissioner Olson for asking if we had. have any questions or comments, and then I asked if you had it.
I think listening to the tape.
I think we should listen to the tape.
Would be helpful.
I haven't, I tried to follow your reminder about that, and.
Well, and I do think, commissioners, that I have found it very helpful. If, you know, if I know, and then my fellow commissioners will, in the order, make their comments, and we may begin to. I think I have done some follow-up, you know, do the round again. And so I found it very helpful to know where I am in the queue, because I'm the worst offender of talking over everybody.
That's all I have.
Well, I think it takes a little practice too. You know, we just started implementing this new system, and I have tried to do it. If I haven't, I'll just keep practicing. I'm a teacher, we practice. 85% of the learning happens in the practice phase. I learned that in teaching. Okay, so we shall keep on practicing. Do you have any other reports?
I have no reports.
Do you have any other
reports? No, I don't.
Okay, well, I do. I was very happy to attend Energy Northwest for 2 days for their executive committee meetings. I learned a lot, and I reconnected with some people that I really have a lot of regard for on the executive committee, other commissioners in the offices. And regarding Energy Northwest, in our IRP, our integrated resource planning, the public, we have stated that we are going to consider and probably move ahead on supporting SMR, small modular reactors. It's in our IRP, stated in our IRP that we published.
Well, I think we're going to. The way I picked it up, Commissioner, was they're going to study it, because there are a number. I didn't pick up that. Did you, Commissioner?
What I heard, because I listened to the recorded meeting, so I don't think it's in our current IRP. I think they're discussing it for the IRP that's being worked on. That's what I heard. A little hard to listen to the presentation and not be able to slice it. That's what my understanding.
Well, I wouldn't want the public to think that a utility is going to move forward on something, because there are a number of options over time.
Yeah.
And I think in our first, was it last week or the week before, that a number of things were listed over a period of 10 to 15 years.
I also heard, I'm pretty sure this was stated that we wouldn't be participating in constructing a unit. That would be purchasing power from a potential.
Would you repeat that?
That we wouldn't be constructing a nuclear plant, that we would be purchasing power from
right.
Potentially.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Like we do for wind. We don't own a wind plant.
No, I don't. You have any follow up? Well, the reason I bring this up is that some of the PUDs are, Energy Northwest needs support from the public utilities to begin to really get serious about it. So at some point, I think we need to discuss it about, and as soon as we, I don't know how this IRP process works, other than it's in a list of things that we're seriously considering. And so it seemed to me that if we are, then at some point we should decide, are we going to support it or not? So maybe we can put that off until we can have a workshop on it or a discussion about it. Because if they are going to move ahead, they're going to need support, and we're one of the biggest utilities.
There was an email that the CEO of Energy Northwest sent, and I forwarded it on to John. Staff to look at and decide.
Was it after the end of this last meeting?
A week or two ago. Email came out.
Okay. Mr. Schutz.
Commissioners, I do think I have followed Energy Northwest work on this, but I do think in terms of supporting them, my priority would be what fits best for our utility and our customers. That is one number. I wouldn't want to say, well, I'm going to commit to this to help them. And so that's my philosophy, yes. It's one of the many, and our choices are based on the right fit for this utility.
Right. Well, I think we need to talk about it with the IRP group and figure out what they're thinking, because it's my impression that we are seriously considering supporting that development.
That's news to me.
Yeah, that's news to me too.
I'll go back.
I do think it's safe to say that Garrison and the team are looking at all of the emerging technologies and current technologies, and to your point, Commissioner Olson, very much every time they refresh the IRP, they're looking at what best fits our needs and our customers' needs.
So right. We'll also be back in September or early October with another presentation.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to bring it up because it seemed important at the time. We're going to commit to, I mean, not that we have a firm commitment to put money into it, but if we're going to support the development of that, then we need to talk about how we're going to be able to. Anyway, that was Energy Northwest. And PPC was very interesting, and we had a lot of information coming from the BPA. On the 2024 to 2028 planning, the planning and strategy going forward for the next 5 years. So anyway, very interesting meetings in person. I went in person, and I think that's about all I have to do.
I have nothing.
So now I'm going on to the commissioner event calendar. Are there any changes to the commissioner event calendar?
The only thing I have, I've went to the fair on the 28th, I believe.
Okay. Also, do you have any changes to the event calendar?
No.
So you have the one on the 28th to go to the county fair. I mean, the state fair. Okay, and I have none. So under governance planning, do we have any changes to the governance planning calendar? Governance planning.
Yeah, just a quick look. No, I have no question.
And I have not either. Is there any further business to come before the board today? Any further business? Do you have any further business?
No further business.
Okay. I have none.
Okay, hearing none. It is now 2:08 p.m. and the meeting is now adjourned.